Production. Recorded live.
Hey, Jay, where are you at?
I am standing in my front sidewalk. Where are you at?
I'm in New Orleans, but that's an expression we have here. It kind of means, how are you doing?
Oh, well, I'm good. And you?
Can't complain. It is coming up on the end of what we like to call festival season here in southeast Louisiana. And
I thought festival season was like March.
No, you're thinking of carnival.
Oh, yeah, that's different from festival.
Yeah, yeah.
After hard carnival to keep it all
comes
straight.
Festival season, and then after the festival season comes, of course, hurricane season, which starts
right.
Officially June 1st. So
Christmas season.
But we are, yes, yes. So we are winding up ye old festival season with the Bayou Boogaloo. We were just there, boogalooing on the bayou, and it was quite some fun. As I was approaching, I heard like a jazz organ playing. I thought, I wonder if that's the Joe Crown organ combo. I've heard so much about them. I've never seen it. And then as I got closer, I saw on the stage, that's Joe Crown. And they had three organs. And I thought to myself, wow, I had always thought that as an organ combo, you know, it would be a bass player and a drummer, which they had, and one organ. I didn't really think it would be a combo of organs. Of course, it wasn't. It was actually three. It was Joe Crown and two other organists. They were having like an organ smackdown, actually.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, I remarked, does he have to lug that big organ around everywhere he goes? And as you can imagine,
are you asking me, or is this a rhetoric question?
Well, I'm just wondering, what would you say if I did ask you that?
Oh, well, probably I'm thinking yes, because, you know, typically those things don't just appear wherever organists arrive.
You mean you wouldn't take the opportunity to make some kind of off-color joke?
Well, you know, I was trying so hard to avoid it earlier that I perhaps succeeded too much.
Yeah, I guess you did, because, of course, that's exactly what happened. Well, anyway, I was going to have a nightcap. What about you?
I'm already having a nightcap. How about you?
I just had a Manhattan, but with a little too much sweet vermouth. So I'm not really sure what to do now.
Uh-oh. Did you try putting more of everything else in it?
No, because it's gone. I drank it all.
Oh, well, so in other words, you drank it even though it had too much sweet vermouth.
I'm just saying the flavor was off, but I drank it anyway.
Oh, okay.
I'm a big boy. But
those things do happen.
Yeah. I guess I could make another one and make it right.
I'm concerned because I was chasing my wife around the yard just now, and now I can't find my drink.
Ah, well.
There it is.
Yeah.
On the stairwell.
What if you couldn't find your wife? That would have been pretty bad.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be better to lose my drink than my wife. That's, kind of one of, like, Moore's Law or something.
Yeah, now, in certain circles, of course, the opposite joke would be made.
Uh-huh.
Well, at least you didn't lose your drink. I kind of have a, yes, well, we can talk about that later, but the main thing I thought that we should get into first and foremost, by the way, I'm making myself, I've decided to make myself an old-fashioned. When in doubt, a good old-fashioned cocktail is always what's called for.
Yeah,
that's how
exactly.
I feel about it. So anyway, I thought without further ado, we should address the fact that we have actually got at least one listener. Actually, I think we have maybe two listeners, but a listener has actually reached out to us and requested that we discuss something.
They, oh, really?
Yes, I sent you the email, but I guess you know.
Sorry.
as we discussed last time, you are a remarkably inaccessible person in this information age.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure you have many good reasons. We don't need to go into them. But I will just unpack for you what has transpired.
Okay.
The inestimable John Conrath has written us. You know who John Conrath is,
yes,
of course.
Yes, absolutely.
So anyway, you may wonder why on earth would somebody as intelligent and discerning as John Conrath listen to this podcast? And the truth is that he's bored out of his skull. So he's got a long commute, and he's just looking for something. And he actually
something
says that he listens to this, and he only wishes that he could find more content like this to consume more of his commute. But anyway, because we obviously are pretty low volume.
Right.
We record
exactly.
One of these shows once a week, once every other week, something like that. Anyway, John has suggested that there's a couple things just off the cuff that he'd kind of like to hear us discuss.
Okay.
And one of them was how the kind of origin story of Rocks, Jane Beyond the Rocks, our television endeavor.
Well, the television,
of course,
thing.
Podcast would not even exist. So,
yeah,
really,
yeah.
You know, digging back there 17 or more years ago, and getting into the whole history and origin of it. And I thought that's something that we should honor because it's the first and so far only listener request that we've had.
Yeah. Well, I think it all began when I puked at your apartment one time when you had me over for dinner with Chris McElwain.
You puked? What?
Well,
I don't remember.
I mean,
that.
that's when we first started hanging out together.
Yeah,
don't you remember,
that
time that you guys it was right after I got out of college and you invited me over to your apartment for dinner, and I got really completely obliterated. I remember sort of semi-passing out and waking up, laying across the threshold of your sliding glass door, which was quite uncomfortable because, of course, they had that, you know, metal frame.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had, like, this imprint of those runners on my chest. And it was one of those puking drunk episodes. And apparently it must have been very charming because you guys continued hanging out with me.
I just don't remember that at all.
Wow. Do you remember this having me over at least that time?
No, not. I mean, I remember having you over with like Jody and stuff, you know, several times. But not that. No, I don't remember that particular faux pas. But
well, this was when you were living out there near where
Fountain Park,
Isle America was.
Fountain Park. That would have been 1990, 1991.
That makes sense. That's when I graduated.
Academic year. In fact, you know, I've reflected lately that most of my life I've either been in school or working at a school or married to a school teacher. And so my life is really a series of academic years. And academic years, of course, begin in the fall and end in the spring, and then you have the summer as a kind of interregnum, you know, between the 2 years. So I'm always forced to think in terms of, well, that was 1991. You know, even living in Bloomington in the times that I wasn't in school, the impact of Indiana University is so profound in Bloomington that you can't escape it. And leases are all on that academic cycle. So, yeah, that was 1991.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that really, in order to truly discern the origin of our televisual collaboration, you got to go back further. When we were living together in the dorm.
We just kind of knew of each other.
Yes. We took some classes together and so forth. We were living in the same dorm, not in the same dorm room. I was, of course, just beginning to dabble in video projects, and I at one point, and of course I was also, you know, doing some research into different areas of interest, such as, well, for lack of a better word, shit.
Yeah,
which I found to be a fascinating, yes, poop.
Yeah.
I found it to be a fascinating topic, and I read one of those few books that's actually been written on the topic that's not, like, you know, purely medical, and that was, of course, End Product. Fascinating book that I'd recommend to anybody. And there was a monologue in there called Joe's Turd. It was from the point of view of a turd, and the from that had, you know, had its origin in a guy named Joe. So it was Joe's Turd. And since I thought it would be, you know, a good idea to make a video out of that monologue, using the monologue as a text. And of course, because of my close my desire for authenticity in all things, I thought, you know, certainly I would have to have a guy who really was named Joe to act in the in the thing. And so, and I drafted you.
Right.
And much to your credit, you did not run screaming. You you actually participated. Although it should be noted, the voiceover was done not by you, but by me. So it was not actually Joe's voice, so much for the authenticity.
Yeah, well, it would have been confusing if I had used my own voice, because then, you know, it would be, would I be speaking as Joe or as Joe's turd?
Oh, good point, good point. So in the, you could say, in a sense, that you played yourself and I played your turd.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how we got started.
Yeah, exactly. No, that is absolutely true. And I guess, you know, I look back to that time when I came over to visit you guys as a foundation, only because, you know, throughout college, I'd been very close with Chris, but I'd never been close with you.
Despite that collaboration.
You know, we did that video. What's that?
Yeah. Despite that collaboration,
yeah,
we really didn't know each other that well.
Yeah. And, and so then, actually, a couple of things happened, though, because this must have been when I was still in college, actually, because we became friends then. Maybe you had graduated, but I hadn't, or something like that. Because then, when I did graduate from college, thereafter, I'm pretty sure it was thereafter, was when my mother gave me the greatest gift, you know, in terms of profound influence. I've never gotten a greater gift in my life than the video camera she gave me. And because as no sooner did I get that than, you know, you started hanging out regularly with me because I had a video camera. we started making videos. Matter of fact, I think the first video that was made with that was some kind of Hints from Heloise thing. Were you involved in that project?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was evening thing. Yeah.
There were a number of evenings spent making little videos, kind of free-form, improvising one scene based on the next. The life of a lawyer in love was another one.
Yeah. There was also something about shoes for that we did for Jody's birthday. And you and Chris did a stop action animation of me being attacked by a pile of shoes at the end of it. And I was having to lie there very still on the floor, and I ended up passing out asleep as you abused me with these shoes.
Well, that sounds like a load of fun, and I also do recall that there was, I think we did a reenactment of a scene from Othello.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right.
And
then, of course,
anyway,
there was a music video to your rap, the infamous Robitussin rap.
Well, yeah, that was a part of, actually, there were several things. I was working on a project then called Do Not Become Confused. It was essentially a 30-minute long series of little video shorts, and you featured prominently in a number of them.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
And so that was all kind getting our feet
wet. Then you ended
and
up on probation for, well, this the whole probation for streaking thing was long before that, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. The idea was that when I got arrested for running across campus naked, which was, by the way, the other thing that John Conrath was asking about, what was the whole deal with that? When I got arrested for running across campus naked, I was given community service because I have a bad back and I could do a lot of roadside gathering of garbage or whatever. The typical punishment would have been for community service. So since I had a little bit of video production experience, they sentenced me to make some PFAs and to help out with some video shoots down at BCAT, the Community Access Television Station, as it was called at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly that's where I learned, you know, some of the cool and judicious editing techniques that would serve me later in the realm of rocks.
Right. Exactly.
That's really kind of a little bit of a mythologization of how things actually went on. But, you know, it's the story that I tell people.
Yeah. And how did you end up with a bad back?
Oh, just from being tall.
Well, I thought it was from falling off a building while you were tripping.
Oh, my God. Do you really think that I was on drugs when I fell off that building?
I thought that's what you told me.
Oh, I have adamantly insisted to everybody that I was not on drugs, or even drinking. I had like half a beer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So drugs and alcohol were not a factor in that. It was just sheer stupidity. Just stupidity. There's no other word for it.
People keep trying to make up an excuse for it for you, I think, is what that's all about.
Yeah, I think the immediate assumption when you hear that a young man fell off of the top of a tall building downtown, your immediate assumption is that drugs are involved, but that was not the case. But again, if we were mythologizing freely, it certainly seems like it should be the case, and that should have been the origin of having a bad back. But no, in reality, I'd had back pain for years, and had a little scoliosis as a child and so forth. So it really didn't have anything to do with it.
Gotcha. Well, you know, one of the things that should be certainly clarified too is that a lot of the I think that you had the initial idea of this TV show that would be a weekly show with, you know, it was about mixed drinks, and I think it just was because of our first initials, J&B, which sort of reminded you of Scotch. Is that correct?
I think you're right, that we were just hanging out one summer night in 1992, and we're taken with the audacity of what if we, I guess we were looking at the community access television station and the opportunities it provided for creative expression and, publishing your voice, putting it out there in a way that people could actually see it. And just the sheer audacity of making a weekly TV show, because of course I knew how much work would, you know, it took to actually produce some video, and to say that we were going to do it weekly just seemed so audacious. And there were no real weekly shows. I don't think locally produced there. Now it's interesting because if you look at the cable access station here in New Orleans, weekly shows are kind of the norm.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, they're mostly studio shows, and the setup is just entirely different than what they had at Katz at the time when we were talking, you know, in 1992. They had have studios, and people come in and shoot their weekly show, and the production's just, you know, set up for that kind of thing. It's mostly talk shows. So,
yeah,
of course, that's what we were talking about, is mostly a talk show when we first got started, a talk show where we would be mixing drinks. But you're absolutely right. The only reason that we even came up with that idea was because we were thinking, well, what would we call such a show? If it was hosted by you and me, we could call it J&B. J&B suggested scotch, and scotch suggested alcohol, and alcohol was something that we certainly enjoyed from time to time. And so the idea of a mixed drink cooking show came to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed absurd and fun, so we did it, and we had no idea that it would take over our lives for the next 3 to 5 years.
Right. That's,
or even that it would
garage door. Yeah.
That it would still continue to exert an influence this late in life, because here we are 17 years later, and although, you know, this phone conversation is a far cry from the glory days of rocks. Still, nonetheless, it's a direct result of that.
Right. And, you know, the topic of discussion, of course, traces back. We wouldn't be talking about this if it weren't for the fact that someone who was aware of the old television show from way back when hadn't asked us about that very issue.
He wouldn't be listening to this if it wasn't for the TV show, I don't think, but who knows. Certainly, I doubt that we would be bothering to record our phone conversations if we hadn't become somehow addicted and enamored of whatever it is that this is.
Yeah. Well, you know, John, I believe, I think I started to read the beginning of that forwarded email that you sent to me, and then I was unable to complete it for some reason. Somebody, you know, called in a fire or something like that. But as I recall, there was something about, you know, how he might be our one listener or something like that. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. Although we do have evidence that there is at least one other listener.
Yeah, I think he works with me, actually, the other listener.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so I'd like to give a shout out to Tristan. And Tristan, if there's anything you've been wondering about from our perspective, feel free to let me know.
Yeah, yeah, and then there's Sean Clark, who may or may not be listening to these shows. So we should also, you know, certainly mention him. And really, if there's anybody out there, anybody at all who's listening, I suppose we should say that, you know, we'll take any and all comers, any and all suggestions for future topics.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just the kind of guys that we are.
Right. So my cousin Matt has been in Washington, D.C. all week on the dime of some nonprofit political lobbying organization. Lobbying on healthcare reform issues, and it would be interesting to it will be interesting to hear what he has to say about this experience. He actually arrives at the airport in about 20 minutes, and I'm supposed to go pick him up. Of course, I suppose I could talk to you on the way, but
yeah, so if you're drinking,
you know what's what we're doing, exactly, you know, what we're doing here is I'm picking him up and bringing him back home. And then tomorrow morning, he and I and my wife, Day, and our kid, Julian, all head out to Spokane, Washington, where we'll catch a flight to Austin, Texas, to spend a week with our family.
Right. A whole week.
Yeah. Exactly.
By the way, Austin, Texas is also home to one of the offices of Design Workshop. You're probably not familiar with Design Workshop, but they are a national landscape architecture firm. I get their headquarters are in Aspen, Colorado, but they have a branch office in Austin, Texas. And the reason I mention that is that they've been contracted to do this Greenway project that I've told you about. And the state has just awarded $2.6 million to the project. They're in contract negotiations right now, the city of New Orleans, with Design Workshop. And tomorrow, I'm sitting at a table at the Bayou Boogaloo. That's Saturday. By the time anybody hears this, it will not be tomorrow. It will be probably yesterday, if not several days ago. But anyway, the point is that I'll be sitting at a table distributing literature, promoting our fifth annual hike of the Lafitte Corridor. As part of Friends of the Corridor, which is a nonprofit group that I helped found.
Wow. That's awesome.
That is fantastic.
And you've got a little bit of money to spend. Are you going to pad your own pocket with that money?
Oh, we don't have that money. That money goes to the city of New Orleans to allocate as they see fit and so forth. We have raised half a million, less than maybe a quarter million, somewhere in that range.
Oh.
Of grant money, most of which is quite encumbered in terms of how it's spent.
So, like, you can't even, like, buy a bottle of bourbon to celebrate?
I can't even buy a roll of toilet paper to wipe my ass with.
Wow. Well, that's too bad. Well, maybe what you could do is have them grow trees that you could then cut down and turn into toilet paper.
That's so very green.
Yeah. Well, I should probably actually go get my cousin. And I'm thinking, you know, since I did have one nightcap, it would probably be ill-advised to also talk on the telephone while I go out there to the airport.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. You should not be drinking while you're driving or talking on the cell phone while you're driving.
Right.
So it's been fascinating talking with you, though.
Yeah, you as well. And I guess I won't be talking to you probably this next week because I will be engaged with extended family that I haven't seen in quite a while. But I will be back. I will be back in Missoula the following week, and I will be solo.
I just want to say, if I was going to some other place to spend a week with my family, I could find time to talk to you on the phone for the better part of an hour.
Well, I could certainly do that.
Yeah, could, huh? You could, once you've been shamed into it.
Well, certainly.
I mean, God, I don't want to twist your arm, but, you know, our listeners do have certain expectations at this point. You know, think of poor John Conrad there on this commute, longing for some mental stimulation.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm more than willing to make that happen. I'm just a little bit concerned about, like, you know, you've mentioned that it's hard to reach me, and it's certainly true.
Sure is.
But, you know, I'll be checking email and stuff. So sure, we can make one of these happen sometime toward the end of the week.
What about your cell phone? Will you have your cell phone with you and on?
I think so, unless I lose it or something, you know. I'm very bad about things like that on trips because, you know, I barely am able at home to keep track of my stuff, you know, so.
You know, what I've always had is ever since I got a cell phone, I've always had a clip, and I just clip it on my, basically on my belt or my pocket, my pants pocket, and I don't know, I guess, does that make me a geek?
Well, with all due respect, absolutely. I just couldn't come to ever wear one of those things because they're so dorky.
I don't know.
But, you know,
cool,
you ooze such cool that you probably cancel out any of the dork factor.
That could be. Anyway, so I never lose my phone is what I'm saying, but Christy's constantly losing hers. Anyway, that probably.
Well, what happens if you lose your pants?
That hasn't happened since that time in college when I got arrested.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good. Maybe
well,
it's high time.
It's been a pleasure. Yes, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Say hi to your cousin Matt. Drive carefully.
Yeah. And send my best to your small one and your medium-sized one.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
See ya.